As we remain standing, let us pray. God of mercy and love, may we truly be a friend to your Son and enter into the sufferings that he embraced out of love for all people to bring us to life and love. Amen. Please be seated. I have been thinking lately about how fast time is going. And more since the death of my stepdad last week. He was 20 days short of his 97th birthday and had been in care for 4 years. And like many of you who have lost parents, and Ron, you just recently, I am remembering my childhood. And in particular, I was remembering this morning on the way to church. My dad was a salesman, and he took us to a chocolate factory in Toronto, and he did his business, and my sister and I were in the car, and he brought back chocolate bars, all kinds of chocolate bars. And then he said, go ahead and eat them. Don't tell your mother. And I was thinking how his life made an impact on my own life. And here was the consolation. I know that the gates of heaven are open wide, and God, with outstretched arms, is welcoming my dad, his boy, home. And I am looking forward to a huge heavenly family reunion where God will wipe away every tear and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain, because all these things are gone forever. And in the gospel reading from John, we are witnessing a family reunion, a reunion of sorts, at a dinner party. The last one Jesus will have with his friends from the town of Bethany. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he raised from the dead. And there they gave a dinner for him. Jesus had a long-standing friendship with this family, two sisters, Martha and Mary, and brother Lazarus. He had no home of his own, and he depended on the hospitality of his friends and disciples. Often weary, thirsty, and craving real fellowship, he was glad to escape the suspicion and jealousy of the often hostile Pharisees. I hope, with this family he could speak with simplicity and perfect freedom, knowing that whatever he said would be received, understood, and treasured. And I think it was both an authentic and a remarkable friendship. And we remember on a previous visit, as Jesus relaxed, Mary sat and listened to her friend while her sister Martha fussed about, making sure that everything was perfect. And in the process, she became flustered and complained, not that we would ever do this, that she had to do this all by herself. Has anyone ever complained about that? You know, I am sure Jesus would have smiled and reminded her that she needed less anxiety for things that will pass away and more for these things which will endure. The wisdom and knowledge that our Lord was sharing, what our Lord was sharing, was really the important thing. We are the hands and feet of Christ in the world, and the work we do is needed. But first, like Mary, we may need to stop, sit at the feet of Jesus, and receive his grace and his life. Then, filled with all those things we can do in his name. On another occasion, sorrow entered the house of his friends. Lazarus came down with a sudden illness, and his sisters sent for Jesus. And anxiously they waited for word from Jesus, but their brother died. Even though Jesus knew the situation, he didn't rush to the house in Bethany, but waited. His strong affection for the family was well known to the disciples, and it must have seemed out of character, or even somewhat cold-hearted, that he didn't display the sorrow they expected. But Jesus needed to demonstrate his power over death. If he had gone to the sick room, Lazarus would not have died. He knew that, but Jesus conquered death, and perhaps this was a foreshadowing of his own death and resurrection. Either way, the forces of darkness were driven back. Jesus never made a move. He never took a step unless the timing was perfect. He did provide comfort for Mary and Martha. He gave them back their brother, but he gave them so much more. They received an eternal truth, a deep conviction that indeed he was the Messiah, the chosen one of Israel. John 11:27, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who's come into the world from God." Martha, who was too busy to sit and talk with Jesus, is now a person of deep faith. Her response is the same one that Jesus is looking for from us. "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the one who has come into this world from God." The crowning miracle, the raising of Lazarus, was to confirm and set the seed of God in the ministry of Jesus and on his claim to divinity. So now, on this fifth Sunday in Lent, at the home of these same friends, the last dinner they would have, Mary, out of gratitude, love, reverence, and deep friendship, pours expensive oil on his feet and wipes it with her hair. Both aspects of her actions were disturbing, and the method was disturbing. The pure nard she uses was imported, and as Jesus remarks, it was worth a year's wages. Wiping his feet with her hair was against the rules for Jewish women, never letting their hair down in public. Her expression of devotion was extremely improper, but it revealed the depth of her affection and appreciation for her friend, and it signified Jesus' identity, power, grace, and authority. It also showed great humility and courage that she would risk her own reputation for a friend. Barbara Brown Taylor writes, "So Mary proceeded to rub his feet with the ointment so precious its sale might have fed a poor family for a year, an act so lavish that it suggests another layer in her prophetic act. There will be nothing prudent or economical about the death of this man, just as there had been nothing prudent or economical about his life. In him, the extravagance of God's love is made flesh. In him, the excessiveness of God's mercy is made manifest. The bottle will not be held back, kept and admired. It won't be like the Sunday china, only brought out on feast days. The precious substance will not be saved. It will be opened, offered, and used at a great price. It will be raised up and poured for all humankind, emptied to the last drop." His friend Mary understood that with Jesus we have no fear of running out. We have no fear of running out of nard in our own lives. And this act asks for a response from you and me. What do we have to give that would cost us greatly? What unexpected and extravagant act of love can we perform this day for Jesus? It didn't take long for one dinner guest to protest that this was a waste of good money. It could be given to the needy. This is bad business. Judas used a pious phrase to hide his real motive, but Jesus knew what was in his heart. Judas had a chance to really listen to Jesus. "Leave her alone. She did this in preparation for my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Judas could have heeded those words. It was one more opportunity to stop the madness he was about to do. Unfortunately, scripture was fulfilled. And that's a whole other issue around poor Judas. He chose not to hear and soon would sell his master's life for 30 pieces of silver. Judas's heart was different from the heart of Mary. As she lavishes love and respect, he may have thought he was acting for God's glory, as did also the opponents of Christ. But he, like them, was in fact alienated from God. God's glory will indeed be manifest, but not as Judas thinks. And remember, everyone thought that Jesus was going to replace the existing power, political structure. A true disciple knows that the privilege of position is no substitute for faith and obedience. And the end is coming. A storm is brewing. Jesus, anointed by the love of a faithful friend, goes on his lonely way to his appointed death. I wonder what he's thinking. What's going on inside of him? What is he thinking as God's plan is unfolding? It will be bad. Things will get turned upside down. The veil of the temple will be torn. Sin will be exposed. And yet, humanity will be rescued. There's no middle ground in this friendship with Jesus. Jesus goes to Jerusalem and to the cross to put you and me in a situation where we have to answer yes or no. Well, will we accept the hand of friendship and give up our lives, or will we turn away? Will we betray him in little ways, or will we believe and receive him? Will we sit at his feet? Will we do the better part? Mary understood that Jesus was worth it. She knew that she can't give too much to Jesus, for Jesus is worth all we have and all we are. He is worth all we have and all we are. Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, refresh us. Call us back to our first love, so that we, like Mary and Martha, acknowledge you as Lord and Savior, the resurrection and the life. Give us also Mary's spirit of extravagant generosity and service, so that we can go forth into the world to strengthen the faint-hearted, to support the weak, to help the afflicted, to give to the poor, as we love and serve the Lord. Amen.